And now to my message on today's broadcast, entitled, Christ, the Sin Forgiver. I'm going to read from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. But before I read the Scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for Jesus Christ today. We thank Thee for the Bible and the Gospel, and for the wonderful privilege that is ours to voice the Gospel over this radio station. We ask for every listener, for our sick and shut-in friends, for our aging friends and senior citizens in the rest homes, for those who have burdens and problems in their lives today, for those who are without Jesus Christ, whatever their needs are, may the Holy Spirit use this message to bring comfort and consolation and hope into their lives. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. And now in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5 at verse 17, we read, And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Jesus Christ, the Sin Forgiver. The purpose of our Lord's coming into the world was to forgive sin. This purpose could be accomplished only by His sacrificial, substitutionary death upon the cross. This purpose was accomplished voluntarily, willingly, and freely. Jesus said in John chapter 10 at verse 18, No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Again in John 12:27, Jesus testifies to the purpose of his coming. Jesus said, Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus Christ came for the express purpose of redeeming mankind. He came into the world to die vicariously upon the cross. He took your place and mine in his death upon the tree. Inasmuch as Christ has already accomplished the work of redemption, and inasmuch as he has power to forgive sins, and inasmuch as he stands ready to redeem sinners and forgive their sins, we should do everything within our power to bring men to him. My friend, here at Worth Baptist Church, that is precisely what we are doing. That's why we come to you by radio every Lord's Day. We are of this persuasion. We should bring men from all places to Jesus Christ. We should bring them by all methods and under all conditions and at all times and in all ways. We should bring men to Jesus Christ at any cost. In the words that I have read you here in Luke chapter 5, from the text there comes an unusual story. It is the story of a helpless invalid and how he was miraculously healed through housetop evangelism. Yes, this was housetop evangelism. Let's notice several words that will guide our thinking in these few moments. First, the word manifestation. In verse 17, we read a moment ago that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is manifest in the world today. In Zechariah 4, it is written, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." And in John chapter 15 at verse 5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." My friend, we are helpless without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is only through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that men can be saved. The Holy Spirit is ready at this moment, convicting you through this message by the Word of God to turn away from your sin and to turn toward Jesus Christ. Yes, the power of the Lord is present to save you in this moment. Then out of verse 18 comes another word, and that word is men. We read that men brought a man to Jesus Christ. God always uses men. God is in the business of calling men to serve Him. My friend, wherever you are today, as a born-again believer, you can be of service to Jesus Christ. There are enough men, Christian men, born-again men in the city of Fort Worth to win the world to Jesus Christ. If we would only get busy. What about it, men? Sir, let me ask you, as a born-again believer, as a church member, as a Christian, what are you doing to bring others to Jesus Christ? Remember, the only hands that God has are your hands. The only lips that God speaks through are your lips. The only feet that God has to run errands of mercy are your feet. Men are used of God to bring men to Jesus Christ. Then, out of that same verse, the word man, the singular, man. Here was a man who was in a bed. Here was a man who was an invalid. Here was a man who was paralyzed, helpless. He could not get to Jesus by himself. And oh, what a picture, my friend, of the thousands of people in the same condition today. I'm talking to someone now who needs Jesus Christ. I want you to know, my friend, that God loves you, that Jesus Christ died for you, that you can know Him in the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, that you, outside Jesus Christ, are helplessly, hopelessly lost for eternity. But if you will, by faith, turn to Jesus Christ today, you can be saved. Out of verse 19 comes the word multitudes. Oh, my friend, there are so many people in this great metroplex, perhaps 2 million people or more, and so many of them today know not Jesus Christ as their own Savior. Out there in this great city and across this great metroplex, multiplied thousands of people are out of church. They have no church home. They have no one to care, no one to love them, no one who is concerned. Oh, that Christians all over this great city would become burdened for lost humanity and become burdened for those multitudes who are scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Let's get busy, Christian friends, and bring the multitudes to Jesus Christ, because only Christ can save them. Then I think of the word out of verses 18 and 19, the word method. Oh, there are many methods that we can use to get men to Jesus Christ. The bus ministry, the auto evangelism, house-to-house visitation, preaching the Word of God, the radio, the television. All of these are methods of getting men to Jesus Christ. In my text, there was a very unusual method. We call it housetop evangelism. These men could not get to Jesus because the crowd was so great. So they carried this man upon the housetop, tore away the roof, and lured him into the presence of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we are willing to go to that extreme today to bring men to the Savior. I said a moment ago we should bring them from all places, by all methods, under all conditions, at all times, in all ways, and at all costs. The souls of men, the most precious thing in all the earth today, is your soul, a priceless gift from God. And there must be some method that can be employed to bring men to Christ. Jesus Himself said, go out into the highways, into the streets and lanes, and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Do you know what that word compel means, my friend? The word compel means to persuade to the point of changing one's mind. You and I, at the command and commission of Jesus Christ, must go out and persuade men to come into the house of God, that God's house might be filled and that souls might be saved. Another word out of verse 19 is misgivings. I'm sure that some people thought it a terrible thing for the men to tear a hole in the roof. But, oh, my friend, the soul of a man is so much more important than a rooftop. There is no price or purse or premium that can be placed on a man's soul. Don't you have misgivings about people going out in their cars and going out in buses and bringing people in? Because God has ordained these methods to bring men to His Son, Jesus Christ. Then in verse 20, there's a message. The message is from the lips of the Savior, who said, thy sins be forgiven thee. My friend, that's the message that our Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you today. Your sins can be forgiven if you will turn by faith to trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. The final word is the word mystery out of verse 26. Those people went away saying, this is mysterious. We have seen strange things today. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. Jesus Christ died to forgive you of your sins, and the only way you can be saved is through the new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. As we leave the broadcast today, I want to remind you of two very special days in our calendar. First, February the 13th, is Prove Your Love Day at Worth Baptist Church. We're expecting 1,000 in Sunday school on that day. And then Sunday, March the 6th, is the 23rd anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school goal for anniversary day is 1,100 in Sunday school. And then we have an anniversary building fund offering goal of $23,000. We trust that you'll be in prayer with us about these matters. And again, we invite you to come today to Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our evening worship service at 7. And again, we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Write today to Worth, Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And until next Lord's Day, at this same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.